Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are going back to Ragnar's Mad. Previously, we've been getting a lot of orbs for our Hammer of Icy Wrath. Let's move to level 25 and see what happens. Okay, there's a east-west corridor to the north where I am, and another one to the south, and two little alcoves in the corner that almost link them up. Anyway, I'm going to start by going east. There's a something in the corner. A massive, faceless being of stone stands in the corner of the passage just up ahead. The towering being, its thick fingers wrapped around the haft of a stone hammer, makes slight movements now and again. Shows no sign of having taken any notice of you. It's already moving. Does this mean it's not going to try to kill me? It's probably going to try to kill you. Statues usually try to kill you. It's just the rules. Approach the stone being. As you begin your cautious approach, the massive faceless being of stone turns and moves swiftly towards you, raising its hammer as it prepares to deal you a deadly blow. Nope. This one's trying to kill me too, because of course it is. It's a statue. That's what statues do. They come to life and they try to kill you. Yeah, I mean, if you ever make a statue in real life, better be careful about that, because they might just come to life and try to kill you. And if you happen to make a statue of yourself for some reason, it will come to life, kill you, and take your place. This is what they do. It's just the thing statues do. They just do it. No one knows why. They just do. Pick a random number. Bonus of 25. 15 from agility. 10 from luck. Wait. Stats are a bit low. I think I can raise these stats a bit by equipping the Spruce Smasher, perhaps. Yes, that gets agility up to 20. That means I now get a bonus of 20 as agility has been risen to 20, rising the bonus to 20. Wait, some other stats are lower than they were. Warlord's Helm, yeah. There's something missing. I'm going to pause while I check some things. I found out I have the Cloak of the Mist equipped rather than the Cloak of the Wanderer. Now my MR and the rest of my stats are up to where they were. Alright. Bonus of 30, success of 50. Otherwise, Sir Croakington becomes a small smear of slime on the base of a gigantic hammer. Although that probably won't happen because nobody likes instant death checks. They're really annoying. And sure, okay, I guess some people like them, but if you want trying to do a long form, a long adventure, it just gets in the way. So it's not, if it hits me, it's going to do a lot of damage. Although, narratively speaking, I have to pretend that it will squash me flat. So anyway, pick now. 86, success. Well, I guess we won't find out what will happen if it does hit me. in a remarkable display of agility, you spring up really fast and then just land on top of the hammer. You spring to your feet and instinctively draw yourself into a defensive stance as the faceless being of stone again turns in your direction. It puts its hammer to the side, and now I can jump on its head and begin the smashy smashy. With the reverberating thud of its heavy footfall shaking the passage, the massive guardian stomps forward and attacks, driving you back with the swipe of its giant stone hammer. It's a faceless stone guardian. Let us begin combat. And it is invincible. I can totally vince it whenever I want, and that is what I'm going to do. Well, I don't know. I don't know what vincible means. It seems to be one of those words when you have the invert, but you don't have the... You have the something that's not something, but there's invincible, but nothing is... You never really hear the term vincible. Alright, time for the smashy smashies. Keep going. It did a special, but I forgot to read it. I'll see if it turns up the next time. The enemy deals you a devastating blow for 28 damage. Okay, it's a pretty generic special attack. Not an especially written one. It's probably just copied in from somewhere. You know what? When you're making this entire thing, you gotta save what time you can. Another devastating blow for 35 damage. Since I'm kind of closer to it, too close to use the hammer, it's probably just knocking me on the head. Yep. The smasher wallops your foe for 14 damage, and it is slain. 138 experience. With a low, reverberating groan, the massive faceless guardian collapses into a heap of shattered rubble. As you lean back against the wall and attempt to recover from the brutal contest, a small, glowing cube suddenly appears over the remains of the slain guardian. The phantasmal cube, enveloped in a dazzling blue glow, spins slowly in mid-air. You're about to step forward and make a close examination of the cube, when it stops spinning and streaks off along the corridor, swiftly vanishing into the gloom. You can't help but wonder where the cube might be going. After checking over equipment, you wait for several moments in case the cube should reappear. When it does not, you take one last look at the remains of the guardian, before once again setting off to resume your exploration. Okay, going south. Your exploration comes to an abrupt halt as you're suddenly confronted by one of the fearsome denizens of Wagner's Labyrinth. A mechanicized goblin, crafted out of iron and copper, emits a chorus of echoing clanks as it moves towards you out of the darkness ahead. The metal goblin is covered in grime and dirt. How did that happen? I guess because Wagner wanted it to happen. The strange automaton, its squarish metal head bearing an engraved fang-filled grin, raises a crude but sharp blade as it prepares to attack. It's a grime and mechanical goblin. Let us begin. The mechanical goblin whirls as it steps forward and attacks. A brutal blow for 7 damage, but anyway, it is slain, 13 XP. Thankful to survive the encounter, you spend several moments checking over your gear before once again setting off through the labyrinth. Okay, let's try the other side. We're going west. Alright, and the northwest corner. It's another one of a massive faceless being of stone. Stands in the corner of the passage just ahead. The towering being, its thick fingers wrapped around the hilt of a stone sword, makes slight movements now and again. But no, shows no sign of having taken any notice of you. Well, let's approach it. As you begin your cautious approach, the massive, faceless being of stone turns and moves swiftly towards you, raising its sword as it prepares to deal you a deadly blow. Picking a number, bonus of 30, 20 from agility, 10 from luck, so same as before. Gotta get 50 or more or be smashed and squatted and turned into goo. Pick now. 62. Success! So I spring out of the way of the sword, and then I jump on its head. And now you spring to your feet and instinctively draw yourself into a defensive stance as the faceless being of stone again turns in your direction. But it tries to, but it can't because I'm on its head. So it's just kind of, it's spinning around just incoherently, all confused, with the reverberating thud of its heavy footfall shaking the passage. The massive guardian stomps forward and attacks, driving you back with a swipe of his mighty stone blade. Well, it's trying to. I guess it's trying to just swap me off with its blade. I guess when you're made out of stone, you can probably be a bit more loose with wielding a sword towards your head. Just a bit, though. Begin combat. I swing my club. The faceless stone guardian attacks you with his stone sword. Yeah, anyway, I keep going. Devastating blow for some damage. Didn't read it. Another devastating blow, 24 damage. And it is slain. Another 138 experience, split amongst various things. Like all combat experiences. With a low, reverberating groan, the massive, faceless guardian collapses into a heap of shattered rubble as you lean back against the wall in an attempt to recover from the brutal contest. The small, glowing cube suddenly appears over the remains of the slain guardian. The phantasmal cube, which isn't quite as good as my... Which is nowhere near as good as my hexahedron as perpetuity, which is the best cube, but this is still, it's a pretty alright cube as cubes go. It's probably better than the Iron Cube of Skulls. What other cubes do I have? Let's see. I have the tiny Wave and Bone cube, small cube of Wave and Bone, Iron Cube of Skulls. Okay, I've got 3 cubes in my inventory right now. 4 cubes, because the hexahedron isn't registered as a cube because it's a heterahedron. It's far more special than a cube. It's not some common garden cube. It just happens to be a hexahedron where every one of its sides is the same and all the angles are the same and there's right angles all around. But it's not a cube, it's a hexahedron. Of perpetuity. A small glowing cube appears over the remains of the slain guardian. The phantasmal cube, enveloped in a dazzling blue glow, spins slowly in mid-air. You're about to step forward and take a closer examination of the cube when it stops spinning and streaks off along the corridor, swiftly vanishing into the gloom. You can't help but wonder where the cube might be going. After checking over your equipment, you wait for several moments in case the cube should reappear. When it does not, you take one last look at the remains of the guardian before once again setting off to resume your exploration. I assume I shall meet the cube again. Okay, I'm going south of the southwest-northwest corner. As you reach the end of the passage, a strange sensation washes over you. You suddenly realise you're no longer where you just were. You've been teleported. And the fact that I wasn't teleported into the middle of a stone wall, that suggests this is more evidence that this dungeon is not supposed to kill me. It's supposed to test me and slowly give me the equipment I need. Slowly give me the equipment I need to finally deal with that shadow path. No matter what crazy form it takes and what it gates in. Alright, I'm near the southeast corner. One south to the southeast corner. A massive faceless being of stone stands in the corner of the passage just up ahead. The towering being, his thick fingers wrapped around the haft of a stone spear, makes light movements now and again, but shows no sign of having taken any notice of you. Let's approach it. As you begin your cautious approach, the massive faceless being of stone turns and moves swiftly towards you, raising its spear as it prepares to deal you with a deadly blow. Alright, it's trying to turn me into a toady kebab. But I'm not gonna let it. I'm gonna pick a random number with a bonus of 30, 20 from agility, 10 from luck. Gotta get 50 or more or be kebobbed. Pick now. 38, failure. I am now a kebab. The massive stone weapon just stabs right through you and sends you sprawling to the floor. But fortunately, part of being a super powerful wizard is mage and adventurer is that your organs, they dodge. Your organs dodge in your body. They dodge. Somehow. Probably because Sir Croakington is a little bit bigger on the inside. Yeah, the vital organs mostly dodged, so she's okay. She only took 39 stamina point damage, but if they hadn't dodged, she'd be totally kebobbed. And anyway, then I get shooken off the spear somehow. Severely wounded by the savage blow, but still alive, you stagger to your feet and draw yourself into defensive stance as the faceless being of stone again turns in your direction. With the reverberating thud of its heavy footfall shaking the passage. Now, my footfalls aren't nearly heavy enough. You're going to have to imagine your own footfalls. Like that, but better. The massive guardian stomps forward and attacks, driving you back with the thrust of his stone spear. The faceless stone guardian begin combat. The faceless stone guardian attacks you with the stone spear. I get into a battle rage. Hey! You stabbed me! I don't like that! I don't like being stabbed! It hurts! It hurts! And it makes my blood come out! And it ruins my clothes! Don't stab me! It's not nice! Not nice to stab people! Well, that turns out I wasn't that angry about that after all. I went right out of battle rage. Oh well. Smash your wallops it. Smack attacks you with its stone spear. Devastating blow for 30 damage. I'm going to heal after this. I'm now down to less than half my health. Another devastating blow for 22 damage. And slain. Another 138 experience. With a low reverberating groan, the massive faceless guardian collapses into a heap of shattered rubble. As you lean back against the wall in an attempt to recover from the brutal contest, a small glowing cube suddenly appears over the remains of the slain guardian. The phantasmal cube, enveloped in a dazzling blue glow, spins slowly in midair. You're about to spin forward and make a close examination of the cube when it stops spinning and streaks off along the corridor, swiftly vanishing into the gloom. You can't help but wonder where the cube might be going. And here's my healing while I remember. After checking over your equipment, you wait for several moments in case the cube should disappear. Now, where has it gone? I think we shall find out soon. Just got to get the fourth cube in the southwest corner. Well, I assume because most of the dungeons in Wackner's Mad are symmetrical. Because everyone likes symmetry. Yeah. When it does not, you take one last look at the remains of the Guardian before once again setting off to resume your exploration. Alright, keep going, making my way west. The north wall of this section of the passage is bathed in a bright blue skull. The unmistakable image of a skull. An image, a symbol you've encountered countless times throughout the maze, but mostly countless because I didn't bother to count them. They could be counted if I went out my way to count them, but I didn't. But count, so they're not countless because there's too many to count. They're countless because I didn't count them. So this time countless just means
a lot.
not some sort of normal regular numbers break down, or you'll die of old age before you finish counting them sort of thing. Protrudes from the glow that surrounds the wall. Now, that will probably do something with the dials, but that can wait till later. Oh, and here's the description of the just wandering around. Frigid breezes drift past as you explore the gloomy passages of the maze's 25th level. Exploration status, no wandering foes, at least not yet. Although there's a fairly decent chance they might make an appearance. I don't really remember this floor, so I can't be sure from that, just from memory, whether random foes appear. Because to me, there's 40 of these floors, and this is a fairly mid floor, really. It's not up there with, say, floor 18. That's one of the top ones. Alright, southwest corner. A massive being of stone stands in the corner of the passage just up ahead. The towering being, his thick fingers wrapped around the hilt of a stone mace, makes slight movements now and again, but makes no sign of having taken notice of you. Hello again, I'm going to smash you to pieces. Approach the face of the stone being. As you begin your cautious approach, the massive, faceless being of stone turns and moves swiftly towards you, raising its mace as it prepares to deal you a deadly blow. Picking a number. Bonus of 30, yep. And same as before, pick now. 62, success. I spring, and then I land on top of the mace, and then run up the mace, and up its shoulder, and spring on its head. You spring to your feet, and instinctively draw yourself into a defensive stance, as the faceless being of stone again turns in your direction. With the reverberating thud of its heavy footfall shaking the passage, the massive guardian stomps forward and attacks, driving you back with the swipe of its deadly stone mace. A faceless stone guardian. Faceless stone guardian attacks you with his stone mace. Devastating blow for 23 damage. Masterful bash, 26 set. Melee waiting this round. Does it mean anything for Sir Crokington, as her melee waiting is already well into the 3+ zone. Well into it. So you don't do any more damage or really gain anything for having an uber melee waiting. Other than bigger number means better. Yeah, everyone likes making numbers bigger. Yeah, because we're economists, apparently. Whatever, you know what I said. But if you don't, it doesn't matter. Keep smashing, devastating blow, some damage, another devastating blow. That was for 32 damage. 22, 23, 24, devastating blow. And after 28 rounds, it is slain. Another 138 experience. That's quite a lot of combat experience on this floor. With a low reverberating groan, the massive faceless guardian collapses into a heap of shattered rubble. As you lean back against the wall and attempt to recover from the brutal contest, a small glowing cube suddenly appears over the remains of the slain guardian. The phantasmal cube, enveloped in a dazzling blue glow, slowly spins in midair. Hello, cube. You're about to step forward and make a close examination of the cube when it stops spinning and streaks off along the corridor, swiftly vanishing into the gloom. You can't help but wonder where the cube might be going. I'm guessing when you're a text-based game, you don't have people, why don't you chase the cube? Because that option just simply doesn't appear. Also, you're tired from the fight. That's why you don't chase it. And also, you have no reason to. After check, you know, I mean, live-action game, someone is going to try to chase the cube, and then they're going to have to, you know, stop you. You know, so they can do whatever it is they do, which we'll find out soon. After checking over your equipment, you wait for several moments in case the cube should reappear. When it does not, you take one last look at the remains of the Guardian, for once again setting off to resume your exploration. Honestly, I think probably the reason it's faceless isn't out of any, you know, particular... out of any particular artistic statement. It's just, faces are really hard and fiddly to carve, so he just didn't. Especially since you're going to be smashy yet. Setting off to resume your exploration. Oh, and I go up one and I'm teleported. I'm in the northeast corner. Okay, and that just... Alright, I'm thinking whatever I've got to do, it's going to be in the question mark in the middle of the south side. So teleport from northwest to southeast. Okay, let's go to the middle. Okay, unmistakable image of the skull. Okay, I'm going to adjust all the iron plated dials to skull. Because that seems to be the obvious thing to do. Iron plated dials, adjust the dials. Skulls all round. Skulls for everybody. It's like you're some sort of mad caterpillar. You know, the caterpillar where when it molts, it takes its skull and just puts it on top of its head. And then it molts again, and it puts that skull on top of its head, moving the previous skull. Well, I guess, well, skull? Well, close enough. It's an exoskeleton thing, so it's not technically a skull, but close enough, anyway. So as it reaches full size, you end up with a pillow of heads on its head. It's a distraction, and it's really cool. Look up some pictures. It's a fun thing. Anyway, set the dials. Go back. All right, I'm going back to the... Okay, the dials are all at skulls. Maybe I'll be teleported somewhere special now. Teleported. No? What's happening at the exit? No, it's just a regular exit. No wandering foes. Okay. Teleported back to the south side. The north wall of this section of the passage is bathed in a bright blue glow. Wait, blue glow? Could this mean Hammer of Icy Wrath? No, the twisted wooden rod. No? Bring a greater warding? No? Spiders, can you help? No? Maybe there's something I should do on a previous floor. Alright, I'm going to check the previous floor. Maybe something will tell me what to do. To 20th floor. Alright, back to 24. There's the place to put the Hammer of Icy Wrath. That's just a silhouette. Okay, there's a lever you can move. I'll pull it down. I don't think it'll actually do anything. Look inside the chest. Oh, that's where the cubes went. Wow, that's impressive. These cubes know how to use the... These cubes know how to go between levels. I mean, good job they're not, you know, they're just following their programming, because otherwise they'd be unstoppable. They might even be able to get out of Wagner's pad and cause chaos. QB chaos in the worlds above, or world above. Yeah, world above, definitely singular. Four blue cubes, each enveloped in a dazzling blue glow, hover barely an inch off the bottom of the chest. You immediately recognise the cubes to be the ones you encountered after defeating the stone guardians on the level below. The four phantasmal cubes spin slowly in mid-air, their radiance filling the interior of the open chest suddenly. 384 experience to general. Okay. Good. That's if you get general experience, or any experience for that matter, that's a surefire sign you're on the right track. The glowing, ghostly cubes slowly move apart, each of them floating towards one of the four corners of the chest. Dark silhouettes, depicting shapes with which you become quite familiar, take form in the top sides of the cube. The cube in the upper left corner of the chest bears a silhouette of an eye. The cube in the upper right corner of the chest is a silhouette of an eye. The cube in the lower right corner of the chest bears a silhouette of an eye. The cube in the lower left corner of the chest bears a silhouette of an eye. Okay, so the first floor will still be skull, because I assume that's what the big, what's that symbol on the south side of floor 25 meant. So I skull for the third floor dials. After carefully studying the four cubes and the symbols, you step back from the open chest. Okay, time to adjust the dials. Right, engraved. Iron plate of dials, adjust the dials. I, scroll, soul, set the dials. Time to go back to the 25th floor. To see if I've actually been interpreting this correctly. Grave slab, down to 25.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Making my way to the south side. I'm on the south side. The north wall of this section of the passage is bathed in a bright blue glow. The unmistakable image of a skull, a symbol you've encountered countless times through the maze, protrudes from the glow that surrounds the wall. 768 experience to general. Whew, that's quite a lot. The image status, that's as much as you get from the entire Caves of Westworld adventure. Well, the end bit. I mean, you get little bits of experience on the way, but the end reward for the Caves of Westworld adventure. The image of the skull protruding from the glow that surrounds the wall subtly melts back into a dazzling field of blue and disappears. The glowing wall shimmers brightly for several seconds and then vanishes, revealing a broad, gloom-filled passage leading north. Okay, I can now go north to a little passage that was between the north and the south sides, which I didn't mention this time, but I did mention at the end of the previous episode. It's just a three-tile-long east-west passage with question marks at the east and west end. I explore the western question mark. You're standing in a small circular chamber just off the west of the passage you've been following. Hovering in the centre of the room, 4 feet off the floor, is a glowing fist-sized blue orb. Well then, Hammer, this is for you. The floating orb is covered by what appears to be a thin layer of ice. Well, you attempt to approach the orb. The strange spear swiftly moves just beyond your grasp. Sir Grokington can grasp anything, but not quickly. So, okay, time to use the Hammer of Icy Wrath. 64 experience to general. You hold up the Hammer of Icy Wrath, tilting its massive frost-covered head towards the icy blue orb. The floating orb immediately flares brightly, dazzling your eyes with its azure radiance. After only a few moments, the dazzling glow fades, leaving behind no trace of the blue orb. Much to your astonishment, however, you discover that another small blue gem, its colour nearly identical to that of the vanished orb, is now embedded in the base of the fearsome hammer's frozen head. That's another orb for the hammer. And now the east side. You're standing in a small semicircular chamber, just the east of the passage you've been following. And it's just the same thing again. Hammer of Icy Wrath, 64 experience to general. And now there's another small blue orb emblazoned in the hammer's frozen head. How many orbs do we have now? Let's have a look at our hammer. 10 small icy blue gems are embedded in the frost-covered iron at the base of the hammer's head. Okay, now there's a direct path between the north and the south sides, with a question mark just north of the middle. An engraving depicting it's the inverted pyramid formation, it's the way down, place your hand in impression. You place your hand with the hand-shaped impression just below the engraved skulls. Your hand begins to tremble inside the impression, and for a fleeting moment the entire slab shudders. You quickly withdraw your hand and step back from the slab. 384 experience to general. A bright flash of green light erupts from the centre of the stone slab, momentarily obscuring the gruesome engraving that adorns its rugged surface. You immediately realise the way down to the next level of Wackner's Perilous Labyrinth has just been unlocked. Step onto the engraved slab, down to floor 26. You stagger forward, struggling to retain your balance as you suddenly realise your surroundings have changed. Pausing to get your bearings, you realise you're now standing in a dark stone corridor on level 26 of the perilous maze known as Wackner's Mad. Okay, I'm near the southwest corner, and there's lots going on. Southwest corner itself, and one north is another question mark. A raised square of white stone sits in the middle of the passage. A pentagon has been carved in the centre of the square. A thin outline of the moon is etched inside the pentagon. I'm just going to leave that be for now. Suddenly, as you make your way along the passage, a strange sensation suddenly washes over you. As the feeling fades, you immediately realise you're no longer where you were just a split second ago. You've been teleported. The exploration comes to an abrupt halt as you're suddenly confronted by one of the fearsome denizens of Wagner's Labyrinth. The lurching silhouette of an Oturok suddenly appears at the edge of your light, just up ahead. The ancient being of wood and iron, its movements less fluid than the Oturok you've encountered outside the labyrinth, bears down on you with startling speed as it launches a swift and savage attack. Oturok archetype, so Umdro's open ward will be equipped, and then I'll quick combat it. It is slain, 17 experience. Thankful to have survived the encounter, you spend several moments checking over your gear for once again setting off through the labyrinth. Okay, I'm more closer to the middle now. And there's a little alcove to the east. A massive stone pedestal rises up in the centre of this vast dome chamber. Perched on the pedestal, its stone face carved into a hideous scowl, is a towering statue of a one-armed, chain-clad man. The statue's single, giant hand is bored into a fist. Oh no. It's a statue. It's going to try to kill me. Because that's what statues do. A soft golden glow surrounds the base of the scowling stone behemoth. Suddenly, a bright golden glow swiftly floods the dome chamber. The surge of light rapidly recedes, and in its wake, you immediately note the soft glow which has enveloped the base of that towering statue is gone. Okay, and there's now let's just leave the chamber. Okay, I'm going to make my way north from where I am. Alright, we got a trap check. Bonus of 29. 19 from thievery, 20 from aura, 10 from luck. Got to get 73 or more, or something bad will happen. Pick now! 89 success, 16 XP to thievery. Your well-practiced skill of thievery, combined with your innate sense of danger and a little luck, has just helped you detect and avoid a deadly trap. After carefully marking the snare, so be certain not to trigger it, you once again resume your exploration, now more wary than ever, at each step taken along. The ancient corridors is fraught with peril. Okay, making my way east. I went north too. Okay, now I'm near the northeast corner. Suddenly, a strange feeling comes over you. If your energy is being rapidly drained away, picking a number. Bonus of 50, 20 more, 20 from mine, 10 from speed. Got it, 75 or more, be drained worse. 62, failure. You're unable to stave off the worst effects of the strange draining magic that assailed you. 11 Neville Reserve has been drained away. Drained to where? I do not know. Perhaps to help maintain the labyrinth. Because presumably, maintaining something like this must take a lot of magic. Okay, there's an alcove to the north. A raised square of white stone sits in the middle of this section of the passage. A pentagon has been carved into the centre of the square. The thin outline of a moon is etched inside the pentagon. Here's another Oturok archetype. I'm just going to quick combat that. 17 experience. Alright, and now to the very northeast corner. Inverted pyramid formation, which obviously doesn't do anything yet. I've got a lot more stuff to do on this level. We may well end up going quite past an hour. Because this is a rather large floor. Okay, then I go south, then east, and then north again. And there's another question mark coming up with drainage check. I passed it and only two Neville Reservers drained away. A raised square of white stone sits in the middle of this section of the passage. A pentagon is carved to the centre of the square. Thin outline of a skull is etched inside the pentagon. Wait. Thin outline of a skull. Maybe these symbols mean something. To do with the dials, Oturok archetype, quick combat, 17 experience. Okay, in the southeast corner, there's a little circle. We were something in the south side. Drainage check. Fail. 13 Neville Reserve has been drained away. Drainage check. Fail. But success. 2 Neville Reserve drained away. Drainage check. Success. 2 Neville Reserve drained away. Drainage check. Success. 3 Neville Reserve drained away. Okay. Now the question mark. A massive stone block sits in the middle of this section of the passage. The block bears no markings of any kind on the 5 surfaces you're able to examine. Right, I'm probably going to have to get it some markings so I can do something with it. Okay, exploring the south side. Oh, there's a question mark just north of where I am, sort of on the south side. Here's another way square of stone. Thin outline of a skull has been etched inside. Okay, I'm going to set the dial to all skulls. Because these dials aren't really, they aren't in a corner or anything where you can readily associate them with a particular dial. Alright, engraved. No, iron plated dials. Adjust the dials. Scrolls all around, set the dials, go back. Suddenly, yes, I'm on the right thing. 80 experience to the general. As you approach the way square, intent on examining it more closely, a dazzling blue glow suddenly envelops the engraved slab of stone. The symbol etched on the surface of the square vanishes, as it is immediately replaced by the carved face of a young man. In the blink of an eye, before you are able to focus on the face, the glowing square disappears. Oh, that was a something. Here's another mechanicized goblin. I'm just going to quick combat that. 13 experience. Back to southwest corner, inverted pyramid formation. Alright, a pentagon square. Square of stone sits in the middle. Pentagon is on it. Thin outline of the moon. Alright, adjust the dials once again. Iron plate of dials. It's gonna be moons around. Moonity, 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 moon. Set. Suddenly, 96 experience to general. As you approach the way square, intent on examining it more closely, a dazzling blue glow suddenly envelops the engraved slab of stone. The symbol etched upon the surface of the square vanishes, as it is repeatedly replaced by the carved face of a young man. I'm going out on a whim and saying this is Wackner a long, long time ago. Before a lot of stuff happened, and I mean a lot. In the blink of an eye, before I'm able to focus on the face, the glowing square disappears. And there's no question mark there, so you know, you're not going to go back there thinking there's something to do with it. No, actually, no, there isn't. Okay, and I've went just a bit north of the original corner. And there's an alcove to the west. A broad, small, smooth slab of stone rises out of the passage floor here. The crude likeness of a large tackerback, its wings spread wide. It's engraved upon the slab. Well then, let's use the solid silver feather. With the silver feather gripped tight between your thumb and forefinger, you step onto the engraved slab. You're immediately overcome by a strange sensation. 128 experience to all skills and powers. As the feeling fades, you turn to step back off the slab, but suddenly stumble. Much to surprise, there is no longer any sign of the engraved slab. Well, I'm not that surprised. I mean, a lot of things mysteriously disappear after they've given you a lot of experience. That's just how it goes. I'm not sure how getting a lot of experience feels, but weird, I guess. Okay, and then Then the passage goes up a bit, but there's a question mark in the way. All right, a raised square of white stone sits in the middle of this section of the passage. The pentagon has been carved in the centre of the square. Thin outline of a skull is sketched inside the pentagon. Okay, dial time. Skulls all round. Iron plated dials, set the dials. It's skull time. Skull time. It's time for skulls. It's skull time. Set dials. Suddenly, 112 experienced the general. As you approach the way square, intent on examining it more closely, a dazzling blue glow suddenly envelops the engraved slab of stone. The symbol etched upon the surface of the square vanishes, as immediately replaced by the carved face of a young man. In the blink of an eye, before you are able to focus on the face, the glowing square disappears. Alright, making my way north, and there's another alcove to the west. A broad, smooth, square slab of stone rises at the passage here. The crude likeness of a large tackerback, its wings spread wide, is engraved upon the slab. Particular item may be of use here. Iron. Okay, time to use the solid silver feather. With the silver feather gripped tightly between your thumb and forefinger, you step onto the engraved slab. You're immediately overcome by a strange sensation. 128 experience to all skills and powers. As the feeling fades, you turn to step back off the slab, but suddenly stumble. Not that much surprise. There was no longer any sign of the engraved slab. Alright, going north a bit more. There's another alcove to the west. Yep, it's another tackerback. Solid silver feather once again. With the silver feather gripped tightly between your thumb and forefinger, you step onto the engraved slab. You're immediately overcome by a strange sensation. Your stamina points have been fully restored. Very nice. All right, but nowhere near as nice as this next thing, which is 128 experience to all skills and powers. All right, I'm guessing, yeah, that full stamina restoration makes a lot of sense considering all the Neville Reserve that has just been drained. It is quite possible that you could be completely drained in this dungeon if you did it early in adventure or did it several years ago when everyone's stats were lower. Well, everyone that had the same amount of progress and donations. And donators, their stats were a lot lower. Because I think when this first came out, this was before you had the adventure shop, which offers all sorts of enticing packages for Swift coins, which you buy for, you know, real world cash money. You know, if you feel like, hey, you know what? Matthew Yarrow should eat today. As the feeling fades, you turn to step back off the slab, but suddenly stumble. Much to your surprise, there's no longer any sign of the engraved slab. It's not that surprising at all. I mean, it's already happened twice on this very floor. Okay, now in the northwest corner, and just east of that, is another pentagon on another square with another moon. For an outline of a moon, just gonna get that. Iron plate dials, set the dials and make things better. Moon time, it's moon time. We're gonna eat a moon pie. Or maybe a half moon cake from Dancak. They're actually rather nice. Yeah, they're semi-circular shaped and they have icing on. They got a nice sponge and they got this icing on it. It's got a kind of whip. It's white icing with the ripply black lines on it. Very nice, very nice. And also quite expensive compared to, say, other cheaper cakes like the Swiss roll. The basic Swiss roll. But still, it's nice. Although you do need a protractor to share it evenly. Set the dials. Go back. We have a suddenly. Another 128 experiences a general. As you approach the Way Square, intent on examining it more closely, a dazzling blue glow suddenly envelops the engraved slab of stone. The symbol etched onto the surface of the square vanishes, as it is immediately replaced by the card face of a young man. The blink of an eye, before you're able to focus on the face, the glowing square disappears. Okay, going to investigate something else. What was that alcove to the east of where we teleported to? Oh yeah, there's the giant one-armed statue. It's totally going to try to kill me. And that's both a memory and because it's a statue. And that's what statues do. I'll go to the north. Oh, here's another thin outline of a moon. But I already had the dial set to moon, so we have a suddenly. 144 experience general. That is a truly gross amount of experience. That was a joke. If you get it, you're rather smart. As you approach the Way Square, well, okay, I wouldn't say smart. You have the correct amount. You just arbitrarily have the same knowledge I was using to make the joke. You shouldn't feel that smug if you got it. As you approach the Way Square, intent on examining it more closely, a dazzling blue glow suddenly envelops the engraved slab of stone. The symbol etched onto the surface of the square vanishes and is immediately replaced by the carved face of a young man. In the blink of an eye, before you're able to focus on the face, the glowing square disappears. Alright, what's in the northeast corner? Oh yeah, that's the way down. Still can't use it, of course. There's this statue that's almost certainly going to come to life and try to kill me. Thin outline of a skull, just two south of that, of the northeast corner. Alright, set of dials. I think there's six dials for... I think there's six of these, I haven't been counting. I'm pretty sure it's six. Iron plated dials, just the dials. Skulls all round. It's skulling time. Skulling time. We're gonna skull all over the place. It's skulling time. Suddenly. Alright. 160 experience. Yep, this is the sixth one. As you approach the Way Square, intent on examining it more closely, a dazzling blue glow suddenly envelops the engraved slab of stone. The symbol etched onto the surface of the square vanishes and is immediately replaced by the carved face of a young man. In the blink of an eye, before you're able to focus on the face, the glowing square disappears. Okay. Now let's examine this square in the southeast corner. But a mechanical goblin tries to stop me, but not for long. 13 experience. Thankful to survive the encounter, you spend several moments checking over your gear for once again setting off through the labyrinth. Exploration status, fair number of wandering foes remain. Maybe I'll have to clear them out. Maybe they'll all be cleared out by something else. Anyway, question mark on the south side. Soft blue aura surrounds the rocks, so hammer. Bring you greater warding, no. Solid silver feather, no. Twisted wooden rod, no, not yet. Okay, let's go back to that statue. There's another Okurok archetype, just going to quick combat that. 17 experience. Oh, here's a question mark. A raised square of stone sits in the middle of this section's passage. A pentagon has been... Yeah, alright, thin outline of a moon. One more dial to set. What? Set of dials. It's mooning time. It's time to moon things. Just the dials. Moon. Set the dials. Go. Suddenly... 176 experience a general. As he approached the Ways Square, intent on examining more closely, a dazzling blue glow suddenly envelops the engraved slab of stone. This is the seventh one. As you approach the Ways Square, intent on examining more closely, a dazzling blue glow suddenly envelops the engraved slab of stone. You emit the symbol etched onto the surface of the square vanishes, as meat replaced by the carved face of a young man. A blink of an eye before you're able to focus on the face, the glowing square disappears. Okay. Trap check. Success. 16 XP to thievery. Trap check again. Success. 16 XP to thievery. Okay, let's look at the statue now. Alright. Yep, the statue's single giant hand is bored into a fist. Okay, now could I look at the square? Oh, Okra Carpetite, quick combat that. 15 XP, didn't even have time to adapt. I smashed you good. Okay, southeast corner now. I'm going to weed this out. I'm not sure if I read it out the first time. Your exploration comes to an abrupt halt as you're suddenly confronted by one of the fearsome denizens of Wackner's Labyrinth. A mechanicized goblin, crafted out of iron and copper, emits an chorus of echoing clanks as it moves towards you out of the darkness ahead. The strange automaton, a squarish metal head bearing an engraved fang-filled grin, raises a crude but sharp blade as it prepares to attack. Quick combat. It is slain. 14 experience. Thankful to survive the encounter, she spends several moments checking over your gear, once again setting off through the labyrinth. Okay, and southeast corner. A bright blue ore. Particular item may be of use. So, a hammer? Yes, it's the hammer. Because, of course, it's the hammer. Everything is about the freaking hammer. The hammer is practically the main character of this dungeon. It's like it's almost overshadowing Sir Croakington herself. With both of your hands gripping its sturdy haft, you raise the hammer with icy wrath above your head. Then, exhaling sharply, you bring the fearsome, frost-covered head of the weapon down upon the massive block, instantly shattering the glowing stone cube. As you stare down at the heaps of rubble now strewn about the passage, your eyes are immediately drawn to a tall iron lever rising out of a nearby pile of debris. Alright, the shattered remnant of the large stone block lies shattered across this entire section of the corridor. Tall, thin iron lever rises out of a small pile of fragmented debris, center of the passage. Pull the lever! With great effort, you manage to pull the lever as far as it will go. Just as the lever refuses to bulge any further, a deep rumble rises from the far corner of its maze level. A series of faint tremors pass through the floor beneath your feet as you release your grip on the lever and step back. Well, something's happened. Oh, but another mechanical goblin blocks my path before I can find out. 13 experience. Dwindling number of wandering foes now remain. Alright, let's have a look at this statue. Another mechanical goblin. Quick combat, 13 experience. Enchantment devastation helped out. A massive stone pedestal rises up in the centre of this vast stone chamber. You clearly recall the towering statue of a scowling one-armed man. One perched atop the pedestal. Okay, where did the statue go? Where did it go? Where is the statue? Where is it? Could be anywhere. Okra Carcotype, quick combat that. Okay, you know what? I'm just gonna leave. Alright. So, in the next adventure, we can find out what happened to that statue. Because we have now just passed an hour, which means it is time to go. Well, it isn't time to go. I mean, I'm the podcaster. I can make these episodes as long as I want. No one could stop me. See, but that see what happens if I break the rules. I go mad with powers like that. I can't be allowed any power. Any power at all, I will go mad with it. Yes, I mean, even if you let me switch a light switch, you go, I have so much power, I can make light disappear and come off. See, just I go mad with even the slightest bit of power. It's just a British thing. They say, well, we had fire. We went so mad with it. But now we have no power at all, and the whole world is grateful for it. Anyway, so that is it for today. Next episode, we will go back. We will go back to level 26 of Wackner's Labyrinth, which I just abruptly ended. We will find out where that giant statue, which looks very aggressive and has a really big fist, has gone and is going to, and what it's going to do. Yeah. I think you all know where this is going to go. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.